Today, the On Deadline podcast is coming to you from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We've got KCBS radio political reporter Doug Sovereign on the ground there, and he's joining KNX's Mike Simpson to fill us in on everything we need to know.
We are headed into the final night of the convention, so you know who we're going to hear from, right? Donald Trump. But before we get there, we're going to talk about what his VP pick said. Mike Simpson, Doug Sovereign, Doug there in Milwaukee for us. So, you know, we were on my morning show earlier, Doug, talking about it kind of this way, the speech from J.D. Vance, kind of as you'd expect it to be, very carefully crafted, right? For every line that was really, like, for the base and Trumpian, there was another one that was very small town, heartland, almost like it came right out of his book.
Yeah, it did. It very much came right out of his book, and I think that was their plan. That's why he's on the ticket, is to appeal. I mean, how many times did he mention Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, or Michigan? Not to mention Ohio, his home state, but that's not really in play. So, yeah, that's their focus. They know that if you look at the map, they're expanding the map. The Democrats need to win Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. If they don't, their goose is cooked. So he's going to be focusing on that and saying, hey, I'm a son of the Midwest. I get you. They don't. Vote for me. Now, you know, he is still a very conservative MAGA-type guy. I don't know that he expands their base, or, you know, expands their pool within the electorate. He's really mainly appealing to the base. But that speech was, yeah, focused at the heartland, tell his story. I was a little surprised by it because it was fairly low key. He came out, I felt, a little flat. A little dull, really, and then he started in a sort of a very conversational, relaxed way to connect with the audience, and I felt, you know, he was good on his feet, you know, funny, able to ad-lib, you know, back and forth with the crowd, but it wasn't very electric or fiery, or which, you know, the running mate speech is not necessarily supposed to be, because you don't want to upstage your nominee, and certainly when your nominee is Donald Trump, he does not want anybody upstaging him. But you go back to, say, Sarah Palin's speech when McCain picked her, it was had a lot more energy to it. Or you go to, I'm just trying to think of some other ones in recent years that have been good, but that made an impression. But this one, you know, it was low key, but it was effective. And the delegates, most importantly, I suppose, they lapped it up and seemed to really like him.
Is it nice for them also to see someone so young? Maybe if you're a young Republican, I had someone too who's kind of like, they turn themselves as an old-fashioned conservative now, not one of these new Republicans. And they say, you know, I don't agree with as much of this as I used to anymore, but it's really nice to see somebody new.
Yeah, they very much see him as an heir apparent, the next generation, passing the torch. A number of people said to me, look, we're already passing the baton. Trump's getting ready to pass the torch to J.D. Vance. The Democrats are still stuck with Joe Biden and have no idea what they're doing next. I don't think a week ago people thought J.D. Vance was representing the next wave of the movement, but now they see that maybe this is Trump's plan. In some ways, he may see him as like another son, right? He's about the same age as his sons. They all have the same beard, pretty much. Apparently, Don Jr.
They do look
and
alike.
Vance really connected and clicked and hit it off. It was funny because Don Trump Jr. in his speech was saying how much, you know, he got along with J.D. Vance and how different they were, a son from Appalachia and a son from Trump Tower. You know, they were raised very differently. Yeah, except they're both, like, you know, very rich men and part of the ruling elite of their party.
Yeah,
so they may have come from
place.
Different places, but they're kind of in the same place now.
All right, so we had J.D. Vance being kind of mellow last night. We know he loves a fight, though. We know he can be an attack dog. We see him do it on TV, and he likes the argument, which will play well if we end up seeing this mellower Donald Trump that's being talked about. Do you expect that mellower Trump to actually show up? And what's kind of the vibe that you get from people who have been there the last few days? Because we know he threw out the old speech and said he's writing one that's a lot more on unity.
Yeah, now, first of all, on the attack dog thing, yes, it is traditional that the role of the running mate is to be the pit bull, be the attack dog. You sick them on your opponent so you can stay above the fray. And I think Vance is well suited for that, as we all know. And I think he will get to that. I think from this week, given that they wanted to, you know, tone it down a little bit, dial down the heat, that also may explain a little bit of why Vance sort of soft-pedaled things last night. It wasn't the time to be the attack dog. That time will be on the trail and in the weeks to come. So I do think Donald Trump tonight is going to, you know, whether unity is the message we come away with, I think it's still going to be all about Donald Trump. It can't not be with him. But I think he now has a more interesting story to tell than he used to, because he went through something last Saturday that very few people have, and it's clearly changed his attitude on life, at least for a few days. So I'm sure he'll reflect on that and bring that to bear. He'll talk about family. He'll talk about what a close call it was and how blessed he is, you know, to have been that lucky and what a miracle it was. And then he'll pivot from that into his message for the campaign. Whether that really means unity, I mean, is he going to reach out and say, everybody join us, we have a big tent? That doesn't seem like his style. I'm sure he will still go after the Democrats a bit. I bet he mentions Kamala Harris more than he would have a week ago, because now they're starting to think it may be her they're running against and not Joe Biden. So there'll be some attacks. Whether he also low-keys those attacks and tries to stay away from the vitriol, we'll just have to see. We have no insight, you know, no early word on what's actually in the speech. Sometimes they release a few excerpts. We haven't gotten any of those yet.
How much talk is there among the crowd there about the Democrats? And we get the new headlines. And today the big one was, you know, from the Washington Post saying former President Obama has told some of his allies he thinks that Joe Biden needs to do some serious thinking.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's all about serious thinking. Pelosi, Schumer, Jeffries, Obama, and well, you need to take a, you know, that's a very thinly veiled message. If you're telling someone you need to think long and hard about this, you're really saying,
right,
it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
And they're not saying that overtly, even though Adam Schiff is, as you know, as we know in California. But I think they're orchestrating this as much as they can. The pressure is building. I would not be surprised if Biden is out of this thing by next week. And yes, there's a lot of talk among the Republicans here about it. They see it coming. On the one hand, they're sort of gloating a little bit over how the Democrats are falling apart while they're all coming together. On the other hand, they're a little bit apprehensive because their whole game plan is built around beating Joe Biden. And one of the key planks of their attack plan is he's old and feeble and not up to the job. And our guy is a roaring lion who can't even be felled by a bullet. So you take Biden out of the equation, you kind of lose that piece of their argument. So
if it happens, I mean, it's got to happen relatively soon, right? Days to into next week, because they don't have a lot of time.
No, they don't have a lot of time. I mean, they've changed the thing about having to do the virtual roll call before the DNC. They're still planning to do that, but they've pushed it back a little bit later into the first week of August. I mean, in theory, you could go all the way to the convention and have an open convention, but that could be a brawl that nobody wants. So, I mean, I do think now he's got COVID, he's hunkering down. I'm sure as this pressure builds, I bet more people will come out over the next day or two and tell him to quit. He'll have a weekend where he reflects and talks to family, and maybe he finally sees the writing on the wall. You know, the word is he is more receptive to it now. He's willing to look at the data, look at the polling. His focus seems to be, well, can Kamala win? Because if I, you know, I still think I can win. Can she win? If you convince me that she can win and I can't get there, then fine. But if he's not convinced of that, and when you look at the polling, there's nothing I see in the polling that tells me that she would necessarily run better than he would. She might energize people a bit in the short term, but I don't know that she wins and he doesn't. So if he's not convinced of that, it's tough to see him giving in too soon. But I think his position is becoming more and more untenable, and he's going to get that message.
What's your thought, finally, on how long the Trump speech is tonight? How much of prime time does he take up?
Hour, maybe a little more. He tends to run long. It could be something like an hour 15, somewhere in that range. It's going to be a long one. And I won't be on the floor for that to catch balloons and stuff, which is always fun because I'm co-anchoring the network coverage, the anchor coverage that we're doing with Steve Kathan. So I'll be watching from on high and offering insights as we go.
All right, Doug Sovereign, thanks again.
My pleasure, Mike. Always a pleasure.
This show is produced by Joe Heady, Christy Strauser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and thanks for listening to this special GOP convention episode of Odyssey's The On Deadline podcast, where we bring you a closer look at top news stories. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.